Dayam Vishnubhad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Sota Rishi Srimad Supreme Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnubhad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Sota Rishi Srimad Supreme Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Zagahosri Krishna Chaitanya Pramityananda Shri Hrita Gadara Shri Vasari Govar Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyam Kundarara Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Navarupa Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Jagannapuri Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Ayodhya Dham Ki Jai. Tulasi Devi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Ganga Maya Ki Jai. Jamanamaya ki jai, Gaur Premanandi, Harinam Sankirtan ki jai, Shri Shri Brihat Mridanga ki jai, Transcendental Prasadam Distribution ki jai, Shri Shri Garnitai ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Radhamadana Marohana ki jai, Shri Shri Mastana Buddhadama ki jai, Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Shri Krishna Janmasthami Mahamahotsava ki jai, Shri Krishna Janmasthami Mahamahotsava ki jai, Shri Krishna Janmasthami Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Prabhupada Lama's book. Let's get it, it's in there. So we'll read from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and then a very nice lecture that Prabhupada gave in Montreal in 1968 on the occasion of Krishna Janmasthami, Lord Krishna's appearance day. And he speaks, we'll read from that, and then after about halfway through the lecture, he asks some of the devotees to talk. Very interesting. So we'll read that too. So we're reading from Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, translations and purports by, I guess they're not translations and purports, it's all a purport. By His Holiness Satsrupa Das Goswami, let there be a temple, India and around the world. So there was a blackout in India, emergency declared, enemy planes downed, and devotees were staying in Birla Mandir in Delhi. There was a blackout. Well, these were the blackout lectures, okay. And this is Prabhupada. The propensity to fight is very strong in this age of Kali, he said. And the population is becoming so sinful that they are trying to accumulate atomic weaponry for ultimate destruction of humanity. Sometimes Prabhupada would ask a disciple to speak to the group also. No guests were present, since during blackouts no one could walk the streets. And on some nights, the police pounded on the door, demanding the devotees extinguish even the candles. Due to the war in India, Prabhupada wrote in a letter, our programs have been reduced and there is every night a blackout. Not only in Delhi, but in other parts of India, his disciples were encountering difficulties in their preaching attempts. In Mayapur, the government had ordered the devotees to leave the area because of the close proximity to Bangladesh. As Prabhupada had predicted, however, the war did not last long. On December 17th, Prabhupada read the headlines of the Indian Express. Quote, Niazi surrenders Bangladesh. Niazi surrenders. I guess he was the Prime Minister of Bangladesh. Bangladesh is free. Well, the, yeah. India decides on unilateral ceasefire in West. Prabhupada was joyous. I guess this war didn't involve Bangladesh. And was, right. This is West Pakistan, what's known as Pakistan. Prabhupada was joyous. He told the devotees confidentially that the reason the war had ended so quickly was increase in their massive Sankirtan Yajna at the Pandal a month earlier. On the very same page that had announced India's victory, however, another headline read, PM blames USA for war. Indira Gandhi was blaming President Nixon for the war. The American devotees tensed as they walked the street, sensing the Indians' mistrust, and daily newspaper propaganda only worsened the condition. There is great propaganda now against America in India, Prabhupada wrote, due to the country's stand against India and the war with Pakistan. Delhi was the seat of much political agitation, and Prabhupada decided to relocate the devotees who were there with him. Although his disciples were peaceful and far from politically active, he sent some to Calcutta while others accompanied him to Bombay. International politics would not stop the oncoming wave of Lord Chaitanya's movement. So we'll stop there. This reminds that when Prabhupada first met his spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he gave the opinion that because India was a dependent country, that it would be inappropriate to begin propagating Lord Chaitanya's movement. And after a short time, because Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that Lord Chaitanya's mercy or movement cannot wait for political changes, Prabhupada became very dedicated to the principle that even as a dependent country, that Lord Chaitanya's mission should be widely propagated. So this is Prabhupada's lecture delivered in Montreal, August 16, 1968. And I'll ask maybe Anutam and Sesha to share some of this reading. The devotees who Prabhupada asks to read in his presence are Janardhan Gorsundar, myself, Jamuna, and I think Nanda Kumar, which wasn't recorded somehow or other in this state. Anyway, we were all very nervous because Prabhupada had asked us to speak in front of him. This was in Montreal, and was the second Janmasmi celebration I'd been to with Prabhupada. The first one took place in 26 Second Avenue, and basically what we did was, starting at about 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning, Prabhupada sat in the room the whole time, and we would read, or he would read, from Bhagavad Gita and lecture. Then there'd be, that would be for about half an hour, then there'd be half an hour of japa, then half an hour of kirtan, and then again half an hour of reading or lecture, half an hour of japa, half an hour of kirtan. And in this way, in 30-minute intervals or 90-minute intervals, the whole day was spent just reading, chanting japa, and chanting kirtan. And we had to sit there because Prabhupada was sitting there. We couldn't leave the room because he was watching us, and we weren't supposed to leave the room. And that's the way the first Janmasmi went. And plus, we were fasting, and he wanted to be sure we didn't sneak off to go and eat something. But then some devotees were getting very tired and complaining, apparently, to Prabhupada, so he said that we could have some sugar candy. And I guess we call it rock candy here in America. It looks like crystals of big sugar candy. Looks like big crystals. So there wasn't any of this stuff available, immediately anyway. So the devotees purchased lifesavers. And that was the way they tolerated the 18 hours of fasting. And under the watchful gaze of Srila Prabhupada, no one dared to break the fast or go out of the temple or to break the routine. So it was just chanting japa, chanting kirtan, and hearing over and over again. And then, yeah, that was in 1966. And in 1967, Prabhupada wasn't there, but in 1968, in Montreal, that was a kind of a burgeoning new temple. It had been a bowling alley on Park Avenue in Montreal, converted into a temple. And there were a lot of guests that night. Actually, I should go back to 26 Second Avenue. One of the interesting things that happened there was, first of all, they were mostly devotees and just a few bypassers that came in. Then around maybe 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, a group of people from India came in, and it turned out that they were from a merchant ship. It was the captain and his wife and maybe the first mate or some other, 3 or 4 of them came in, and they were all off this merchant ship, officers on a ship. They just happened to be walking down Second Avenue on Janmashtami, and they saw Prabhupada lecturing in there with a sign in the window giving the times of the classes. So they walked in, and when Prabhupada saw them, he asked them to sit down and stay. And at this time, he was asking the devotees to also give a little talk. He was asking one after the other by name to speak something about Krishna consciousness. That was the phrase he used, speak something about Krishna consciousness. So he asked these men to say something, and they recited some verses from Bhagavad Gita. And it was very interesting for us because they said they felt very much at home. He asked them to talk also. And they said that they never expected anything like this to be occurring so remotely, removed from their usual place of India. And they were quite amazed. Then they felt very at home, they said, that they were felt like they were very much at home in the presence of Prabhupada and sitting with the devotees. And it was a very moving thing for all of us to hear because they were of the same ethnic background and they represented a whole culture, millions of people, hundreds of millions of people. And it gave the devotees there a sense that they weren't alone, kind of. You know what I mean? That we were all following Prabhupada, but here were some people from India. And for the first time, we sort of had contact with people from India and had a sense that there was, because they said they felt so much at home, that there was some larger following of Bhagavad Gita. And we felt very satisfied that they were there, and Prabhupada was greeting them so warmly, and that they were saying the shlokas very nicely. They were singing them in a nice poetic meter. So they talked, and Prabhupada asked each devotee to speak, and I was preparing very nervously my speech in my mind, and I was getting more and more nervous by the minute because Prabhupada wasn't calling him, he was calling on everyone else. And then somehow these people came in and either he forgot or he just decided not to call on me. But I was very relieved I didn't have to speak. But when it came to Montreal, there was no escape. He made every devotee say something. And there were a lot of people there who were visitors from India. A group of women did some kind of a Krishna Leela dance. It was all kind of extemporaneous. They just appeared on the scene. And Prabhupada had them dance. They appreciated their dance drama. One kind of elderly-looking, slightly portly Indian man came in. And somehow everyone noticed him come in. I don't know why. Maybe Prabhupada was lecturing him. When he came in, he picked up Prabhupada's shoes and hit them together like this. He was holding them with the soles down and hit them together side by side. And the dust fell out of him. And Prabhupada watched this whole scene, and he looked just kind of satisfied. Like, we'd never seen anything like this. I don't think any devotees were daring to touch Prabhupada's shoes in those days. But here was this stranger who just came in and knocked them together to knock the dust out of him. And Prabhupada was kind of nodding his approbation, like, this is a good thing to do, this is normal. So all that was kind of a enriching cultural experience. Then the dancing, which just happened, and a lot of people came from the Indian community who are strangers to us. We'd never seen them before. And this is when six of us got our Brahmin initiation. We were on our way to England. So this is Prabhupada's lecture, and then if someone else can read some of the speeches by devotees. One of the things that's interesting about these talks by the devotees, I'll have to accept myself, is that there weren't any books by Prabhupada at this time. In print, and most of the devotees were very new to Krishna consciousness. Some of them had only been in the movement a year or less. And I heard a tape of this lecture, and I was quite amazed at how the devotees spoke, how philosophical their short speeches were, even though they were very, very new. It was quite amazing to hear them, actually, to hear how much they had assimilated without having had the opportunity to read anything, just by hearing him, hearing tapes of Prabhupada. So this is Prabhupada's lecture on the 16th of March, of August 1968. He starts out by singing Govindam prayers. I won't read all the Sanskrit, but starts off with the Chintamani verse, Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu, and he ends with Pantastakoti Sata Vatsara Sampragamyo Vayoratapi Manaso Muni Pangavangam. So today, the birth appearance of Lord Krishna. In the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Ivam Yo Vidi Tatvataha Chaktva Turnam Chaktva Deham Purna Janma Naiti Mameti Sorjuna. My dear Arjuna, any person who simply tries to understand about my transcendental birth or appearance and disappearance and activities, Janma Karma, the personality of Godhead, is not Diskriya, without activities. So anyone who can understand that what kind of activities the Lord has and what kind of birth he accepts, simply by understanding these two things, one gets wonderful result. What is that? Chaktvadeham. By quitting this body, Chaktvadeham Purna Janma Naiti, he does not take any more birth in this material world. Chaktvadeham Purna Janma Naiti. Some of us may think that Punar Janma Naiti means he becomes vanquished. No, Punar Janma Naiti, but Mama Eti, he does not come into this material world, but he comes to me. Mama Eti, Mama Eti. This is the abode where we can go, simply by understanding the nature of his appearance and activities. So today is the auspicious day, Janmasmi, when Lord Krishna appeared 5,000 years ago in India, Mathura. Those who are Indian ladies and gentlemen present, they know very well where is Mathura. It is about 90 miles south of New Delhi. Mathura is still existing, and it is eternally existing. Krishna appeared in Mathura in his maternal uncle's house in a very precarious condition. That birthplace, Lord Krishna's birthplace, is now maintained very nicely. Has anyone here been there, that birthplace in Mathura? You've seen? Yeah. Still, it is maintained very, very well. And thousands of people go through there on certain days, not every day, but it's still kept very, very well. Lord Krishna appeared in this planet, on this planet 5,000 years ago. Now Krishna says, Janma Karma Me Divyam. Divyam means not ordinary. It should not be understood, just like we take our birth. Krishna does not take his birth like us. That is also explained in the Bhagavad Gita, when Arjuna inquired from Krishna, My dear Krishna, you are speaking that formerly you spoke this yoga system of Bhagavad Gita to the sun god. That means it is millions and trillions of years ago you spoke. How can I believe it? Because Krishna was contemporary to Arjuna, so he was thinking that Krishna is my friend, is my cousin brother. How is it possible that he spoke this Bhagavad Gita yoga to sun god? So what was the reply? The reply was that you also appear many, many times. I appear many, many times. The difference is that I can remember, you cannot. That is the difference between God and ordinary living creature. That we are also taking birth after birth. There are 8,400,000 species of life. And so, long we are on this material world, we are cycling around this birth after birth. So Krishna's birth is not like that. Therefore Krishna says, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Yojanati Tatvataha. Tatvataha means in truth, not superficially. Scientifically, one who knows, he can get immediately liberation. And how one can understand the same truths, that is also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Bhakyamam abhijanati yavanya shashmi tatvataha. Although the same truth, tatvataha, in truth, if anyone wants to know God or Krishna in truth, not superficially, then he has to undertake the process of devotional service. Bhaktiya. In another place, Krishna says, Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Any person who gives me a little fruit, little flower, little water, but with devotion, bhaktya, that is the only qualification. So Krishna says, Toya bhaktya uparitam ashnami. Because he brings it with devotion and faith and love, I eat. Krishna eats. We are offering in the temple, prasadam. So he eats because he says, I eat. How you can say he does not eat? Some gentleman asked me that, Swamiji, you offer prasadam in the temple, but do you think Krishna or God eats? I answered, yes, why not? He says, I eat. How can you say he does not eat? But you do not know how he eats. Due to poor fund of knowledge, you think that God does not eat, but eat. His eating process is different. That is answered in Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita, it is said, Sakalendriya Vritti Manti. God's senses, Krishna's senses, are as powerful as other senses. Just like I can see with my eyes, but Krishna can also eat with his eyes. That is Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vritti Manti. Driya Vritti Manti. Just like there is many examples. Krishna or Vishnu, the first creation, is the Garbho Dakshai. Vishnu lying in the ocean, and Brahma was created from his navel. There was a lotus stem grown from the abdomen of the Lord, and Brahma was born. Now Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, was just sitting. But as we understand that if we beget child, we require the cooperation of wife. But here we see that wife was sitting, but he begot Brahma from the navel. That is called Sarva Shaktiman. He does not require anyone's help. He can beget a child. Not exactly as we beget child. Therefore, Janma Karma Chamedivyam. He is within your heart. He is everywhere. He can appear from everywhere. Just like sun rises from the eastern side. It does not mean that the eastern side is the mother of sun. We simply see the sun is rising from the eastern side. In this way, if we try to understand in truth, then we understand what is God. Superficially, if we try to understand by our experimental knowledge, then it is not possible to understand God. Pantastu koti satta vatsara sampragamyo vayora tapi manaso muni pungavanam so pyasti yat prapada simyava chintya tatve govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The Brahma Samhita said that if one starts on the chariot of air and makes progress on the speed of mind, still one cannot understand what is God. Vedeshu durlabham or durlatma atma bhakta. He cannot be understood by simply studying the Vedas. Trigunya vishaya veda nishtrigunya bhavarjana. One has to understand the position of the Vedas also. Then one can understand what is God or what is Krishna. So that process is explained in the Bhagavad Gita that bhakti mam avijanati yavanya shashmi tatvata. So this bhakti, devotional service to Krishna, is so nice. And under the bhakti category, this Janmasmi, of course, this Janmasmi ceremony is observed by all Hindus. Irrespective of becoming Vaishnava or not, this ceremony is observed in India in every home. Just like in your Western countries, the Christmas is observed in every house. Similarly, Janmasmi is observed in every home. I was just listening to Prabhupada lecturing from the beginning of the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. And he was saying how we want a temple, these were his exact words, we want a temple in every home. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. We want a temple in every home. So our program is, at 12 o'clock at night, the Lord will take birth and we shall receive him. And just now, it is 10 o'clock. For 2 hours, our program will continue in kirtan. Kirtan means sometimes chanting with music and sometimes speaking. Today is the great ceremonial day. Chanting and speaking, both of them are kirtan. Kirtiyati iti kirtanam. Whenever we glorify the Lord, that is called kirtan. The Srimad Bhagavatam reading is also kirtan. Abhavad Vyasaki kirtan. Vyasaki, Shukadeva Goswami. He achieved the highest perfection, liberation, simply by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Vishnu Shravane Parikit. Parikit Maharaj, he simply heard. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, chanting, hearing. First hearing, then chanting. Without hearing, nobody can chant. Shravanam, Kirtanam. And what sort of Shravanam, Kirtanam? Vishnu. Of Vishnu. Hearing of Vishnu, not anything else. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmani, Vedanam. There are 9 processes of devotional service, of which Shravanam, hearing, is most important. Without hearing, nobody can understand the science of God. Therefore, the Vedic mantras are called Shruti. Shruti means it is to be heard. It is not to be experienced in the laboratory. It is simply to be heard. Therefore, it is called Shruti. So, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam. Vandanam, offering prayer. We also offer prayer. The other religious sect, just like Christian, they offer prayer. The Mohammedan, they offer prayer. So prayer, offering prayer, is one of the items of bhakti. Chanting, hearing, meditating, offering prayers, archanam, worshipping the deity in the temple. All of them are together in devotional service. Prabhupada always emphasized the importance of archanam. He compared the kind of archanam or deity worship that he instituted in his temples to the kind that sometimes takes place in parts of India where the pujari just comes in, sleeps most of the day, and comes in and rings the bell, and then opens the door, rings the bell, closes the door and goes away, and then nothing else all day long, just ring the bell, go away. Whereas the temples that Prabhupada established are places of very gorgeous worship of the deities. Prabhupada was very fond of the word gorgeous. He used it a lot. He was very expert in picking up on certain words in the English language. And he emphasized how important it was to dress the deity very, very beautifully and to make regular offerings, not just one or two, but seven a day for the installed deities. And people are generally quite amazed at the standard, such a high standard of deity worship. Even those who have no idea of Vedic culture, they come in and they see the beautiful beadwork and the sewing, the stitching, and the incredible colors. And they are awestruck, just amazed at how much devotion has gone into worshipping and loving and offering and adoring these deities. They take on a new meaning. They're not just representatives, symbolic or dolls or something like this, but they have there's something very special that takes place. And this was the system, this archana that Prabhupada established all over the world, that wherever you go, even in Vrindavan, where there are many beautiful temples and beautiful deities, the standard of the Krishna Balaram temple deity worship is extremely high standard. You find more opulent dresses and flowers there, especially on days like this, than anywhere else. It's very, very special. So Prabhupada said this is very, very important, especially for householders, he said. And it was at this point that he mentioned that a deity should be established in every home, and every home should be a temple, that is the meaning of Krishna consciousness movement. So archana is very important, one of the nine processes of devotional service. If you can execute all nine, Prabhupada says, it is very good. But it is not possible. So even if you can execute one item, you become perfect. It is so nice. Sri Vishnu Shravanam Parikit, just like Maharaj Parikit, he executed the function of hearing, he got perfection. Similarly, Abhavad Vyasa Ki Kirtane, Shri Shri Radha Madana Mohana Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shri Shri Gorni Dai Ki Jai. Vyasaki means Shukadeva Goswami. He simply glorified the Lord. Prahlad Smarane, Prahlad Maharaj, he was simply meditating. There are many examples. Simply by following one principle of this devotional service, he got the highest perfection. Liberation, back home, back to Godhead. Who knows who perfected archana, deity worship? One of the nine processes. One of the famous devotees. Huh? Prithu Maharaj. So we shall invite today to speak about Krishna from our students, as well as all the members who are present here. So Prabhupada was demonstrating Shravanam Kirtan. You're hearing from me, but then even the guests, even the first timers, they all had to say something. And so everyone was put on the spot. So we shall invite today to speak about Krishna consciousness students, as well as all the members who are present here today. So I shall request Janardhan to speak something about his realization of Krishna. All right, let him speak. So I'll read his talk and then turn over this seat to somebody else. Janardhan joined in 26 Second Avenue and was a student at McGill University at the time. So this is his talk. Nama Om Vishnu Buddhaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane. Krishna, we know, is the ultimate supreme personality of Godhead. The name Krishna has a meaning. The meaning of the name Krishna is the supreme attractive. Whatever there is that holds any attraction, that attraction is given by Krishna. Krishna explains this himself in the Bhagavad Gita. So in our life in this material world, we have so many different attractions which we are pursuing in order to build what we think will be our happiness. All this attraction is the attraction of Krishna's inferior energy. Krishna's Maya holds a great attraction for all the conditioned souls. And by following this attraction of Krishna's Maya, they are continuing in a circle of birth and death. We are born into this world because we desire to enjoy something. So Krishna provides us with a body that is suitable for that enjoyment. And he provides us also the objects of the enjoyments that we desire. However, also, to remind us of our highest possible potential, that of spiritual, unconditioned existence, we have, along with these material enjoyments, various kinds of suffering. These material enjoyments, although they are temporarily real, come to an end, and then there is a feeling of bereavement and regret. So we are now enjoying the Maya of Krishna's external potency to our ordinary life. Unless we realize the personality of Krishna himself, we must have personal realization, personal contact with Lord Krishna. So long as we are enjoying these objects of our senses and thinking that these objects belong to us, and so long as we don't know to whom all these objects belong, to whom belongs the land, the money, the foods we eat, the clothes we wear, our families, so long as we do not know to whom all these belong, then we are enjoying in a state of ignorance. Factually, we are being thieves. We cannot be happy in such a condition. Krishna is very kind. He provides us with all these objects of enjoyment as we like them. But we can achieve a far happier state, not only for ourselves, but for the whole humankind, if we realize that Krishna, who is the supreme source of all attractive objects that we are enjoying, is a person who is ready to receive as his loving servants, the moment we want to surrender all our false ideas of ownership and come back to the spiritual platform. So Lord Krishna, for this reason, has appeared. He wants to call the conditioned souls back to Godhead. He wants us to realize that he is the source of the whole universe. He is the owner of the universe. He is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme knower of everything, and that we are always welcome to associate with him by the grace of his devotees, by the grace of his spiritual master. And so he has appeared, and we are now celebrating the Janmasmi day, the day when Lord Krishna came to the conditioned plane out of his own transcendental power with his full spiritual potency in order to reveal the supreme nature of Satchitananda Vigraha, eternal knowledge, consciousness, and bliss to all the conditioned souls so that they might be attracted to him and so that they might come out of the miseries of material existence and of ignorance. At this particular time in the world, it is very much necessary that all people hear about Krishna and that they become attracted to chanting the name of Krishna, to hearing about Krishna's wonderful pastimes, so that by this exquisite attraction for Krishna, they might forget their lower desires, which are now leading everybody to hellish conditions of life, in which it seems inevitable that there are to be wars and pestilence and starvation, disease and all kinds of social injustice. All these things are unavoidable so long as the world at large does not understand who owns everything, who owns the land, who owns the money, who owns the food. So long as they don't understand that Krishna is the owner and enjoyer of everything, so long as they don't understand that it is the higher enjoyment for the living soul to serve Krishna, it is the perfect harmony and the condition to serve Krishna. So there will be fighting due to ignorance and deluded cross purposes. This International Society for Krishna Consciousness movement is meant for spreading the Krishna consciousness to the whole world so that people might realize their spiritual existence and so that the whole atmosphere of this world can become spiritualized by chanting the names of Krishna. So we welcomed everybody who comes to this temple to inquire about how to make your life perfect by tuning in to the desires of the Supreme Lord Krishna. You'll find that this is such a pleasant proposition that all insignificant lower desires will be forgotten. There will not be any need for unnecessary fighting among the people of the world if they can understand the spiritual plane of Krishna consciousness. The way to realize Krishna consciousness is very simple. Simply chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Chant this Maha Mantra under the guidance of the spiritual master, and the results will be very quick. Thank you very much. Sesha, you want to do that? This Prabhupada's asking for Gaur Sundar.